We're going to begin in Luke chapter 10. I didn't text the verses to Amanda yesterday because I wasn't sure what all I was going to preach on yet, and wasn't even completely sure this morning. Had two sermons in mind. Was off 2 weeks, so I guess I had a backload of sermons building up inside of me. But this is just kind of this message today is just more of what I see happening in our world. And it's not just happening in our world, it's even happening inside our churches. Luke 10, verse 25 says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, that's a good question to ask, right? What must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to know how to inherit eternal life. I want to be with Jesus forever. I want to be in heaven. But it said that he was testing Jesus. Verse 26 says, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we talked about that for just a brief moment in Sunday school. I didn't even realize when I was saying that, but that's how you inherit eternal life right there. That's summing it up. And it's amazing to me that you can look all through scriptures and that those few verses right there sum up how we are to live. That's it. And, you know, this morning we in Sunday school, I just kind of said, that's why we need to know what the true definition of love is so we know we're doing it right. Verse 28, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Verse 29, though, and this is where I want to get at in the message today, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now what I want to talk to you about this morning is how many people today are justifying their actions? How many people today justify the way they live with, well, I was raised this way, well, I didn't have this, well, I've got this, well, I've been blessed with this, so I can do this. And, you know, when we was on vacation, Hayden was telling me a story about a 18-year-old girl that was coming home from shopping, getting ready to go to college, and she's merging onto the interstate, and something happened, and there was a little bit of road rage incident, and a guy pulled out a gun and shot her in the head and killed her. 18-year-old girl. And it reminded me of a story that I heard from a few years back, and this family's coming home from a Christmas party, and it's a mom and dad and their three little kids in the back seat, and they're going down the interstate and they're just laughing and celebrating. They've just come from a Christmas party, and apparently he didn't realize it, but he'd cut a guy off or was slowing him down in traffic. The guy pulls up next to him, pulls out a gun and shoots and kills his wife. When they finally arrested the man, he felt justified in his actions because they cut him off. He felt no remorse, no sorrow for what he'd done because that guy had cut him off in traffic. You hear time and time again of people justifying with their road rage, with their cheating, with their lying. Well, I can leave my spouse because she did this. I can take this from work because I didn't get my raise. I didn't get my bonus. And we justify them. We justify our actions when we're all wrong. This man says, I need to justify the way that I'm living. I need to justify who my neighbor is. So I can really live and only love those that I want to love. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. 16:25 says there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. When was the last time you were wrong? When was the last time you were wrong about anything? I mean, think about it. I don't like to admit when I'm wrong, and I very rarely do. Why? Because I justify my actions, I justify myself. Well, I know best, and you're interpreting that wrong, and that's not the way that I meant it, and it's your fault, not my fault, right? We justify ourselves constantly. And I got to thinking about that. All man's ways seem right to him, but in the end they lead to death. Maybe we need to start asking ourselves, is this me? Or is it really the Holy Spirit leading me? I read in a devotional this week, and I'm going to share it with y'all. C.S. Lewis said, and you guys listen, okay? A moderately bad man knows he is not very good. A thoroughly bad man thinks he is all right. You understand sleep when you're awake, not while you are asleep. You get what he's saying there? Then when you're a little bit bad, when you're a little bit wrong, you understand. You know you've messed up. When you're thoroughly bad, through and through, then you think you're all right. You think there's nothing wrong with your actions, with the way you're doing things. You see it time and time again on the news, on things. I watched a story this past week. This man got married at 18, joins the army, and he shoots his wife in the head, kills her. He admits he did it. He says it was an accident with his rifle. He didn't mean to do it, but all the evidence was pointing that they were fighting and everything else. And it's funny, though, the man, he weeps and he's crying. And when he's being sentenced, he was convicted of manslaughter. And he said, I'll take whatever punishment you give me. And they sentenced him to 13 years. And then at the end of the story, it says he's appealing this sentence. So is he really taken what the court said that he deserves? No, he's appealing it. All throughout the thing, he still felt justified in it was an accident. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. We try to justify our wrongs. We try to make everything we do seem right. Matthew 6:23 says, but if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I think that's the verse that Tim puts often on his emails and everything. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is your darkness? If you're thoroughly bad, all your ways seem right to you. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Justification. We do things the right way. We feel we're right in everything we do, and we don't want to admit when we're wrong. Luke 11:35 says, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. See, we justify our gossip, our jealousy, our envy, our hateful attitudes, and we keep heading down that wide path. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? The light within you, is it really light or is it darkness? Do you justify your gossip? Do you justify your jealousy, your envy? When you're hateful, when you're mean, and we justify, well, they did this, or they did that, or I'm having a bad day. And we keep getting on that wider and wider path. Let's go back to Numbers 22. Numbers 22, and story of Balaam. Numbers 22, verse 21. It says, Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. What are you doing, donkey? You're taking a different path. My path is the right way. Keep going straight. Verse 24, then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. I'd be beating the donkey too, right? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I'm trying to make you go this way. Now you've crushed my foot. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to make you beat me these three times? Now, the donkey turns and talks to me, and I'd be a little bit upset. I'd probably take off running, right? Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." Why? Because Balaam says, "You're messing me up. I'm on the right path, and you're messing me up. You've turned me, you've crushed me, now you're laying down. I'm going down the right way, and you're stopping all this." The donkey said to Balaam, verse 30, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. His eyes were open. You know, I think some of us, our eyes need to be open. Some of us, we need to understand that we're not always right, that we're not always going down the right path. And sometimes God keeps putting roadblocks and roadblocks and roadblocks in front of us, and we keep trying to go through and we keep trying to go through. The verse 32, the angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her." The donkey saved his life. The donkey kept him from going down the path, on the path that he felt justified like he should be going down. I wonder how many of us are going down the wrong path, thinking that we're right, and thinking that we're doing the best. And here's what I did, okay? When we were going to Florida and back, Madeline has on her phone an app that shows you the quickest route. And it takes traffic into consideration and all this stuff. And she's like, "Dad, you're arguing with the phone." You know why? Because this stupid phone, we're going down the interstate and it says, "Take this exit." So we take this exit and we're on a two-lane road. And I'm like, "Madeline, I don't want to be on a two-lane road. Why are we on this two-lane road?" And then all at once you see this huge line of traffic going the other direction. Well, it turns out there was an accident on the interstate. The thing on her phone knew there was an accident. So it's saying, "You're avoiding traffic." So we get going along again. We're on another two-lane road. "I don't want to be on two-lane roads." She's like, "Dad, do you trust this or not?" No, I felt justified that I knew the right way we should go. We should be on the interstate. We shouldn't be off on these two-lane roads. But that map, the satellite, can see things. And it would show red lines where the traffic was stopped or backed up. And then it had different colored for the different paths and the quickest way to go. Finally, I said, "Okay, Madeline, I'm not going to question you anymore. You tell me where to go." But that was really hard for me because I thought I knew the way that I wanted to go. I wanted to stay on the interstate. I can't speed. I've got a CDL and I can't get a ticket. So I didn't like the two-lane roads because I got to drive the speed limit. And I'm going 55 and it feels like you're going 25 after you've been running 70 on an interstate, you know. I didn't want to get off. But that map knew more than I knew. It knew a mile and a half up the road that there was an accident and we need to exit off. Sometimes in life, God's trying to redirect us. Sometimes in life, God's trying to show us a different path that we need to be on, a different direction. And we're just like Balaam. And we just keep going and we keep going and we justify our actions and we feel like we're all right. 1 Samuel 13. This is familiar text to many of you, but it so spoke to my heart with this message. It says, "What have you done?" Verse 11, 1 Samuel 13, verse 11. It says, "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw the men were scattering, and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offerings." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Why did he not keep the Lord's command? Because circumstances changed. And he thought, we're in trouble. And he justified his actions because you didn't come at the appointed time. And they were assembling and I saw all this beginning to happen and I got scared. And I thought, what are we going to do? And then he does it again in chapter 15, verse 13. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of the cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." Verse 16, "Stop! Stop!" Samuel said to Saul, "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." I wonder sometimes if in our lives, if God's ever up there in heaven just saying, "Stop, Pete! I don't want to hear your excuses anymore. I don't want you to think you're right about everything anymore. Open your eyes. Just stop." You know, when I used to coach ball, it used to drive me crazy when a kid would say, "I can't. I can't." Basketball, baseball, "I just can't, coach." Don't tell me you can't. Stop. That's what I'd say to them. If you say you can't, you never will. You know, have you ever felt a frustration with somebody that you love, a family member, a child, a coworker, and they're giving you excuse after excuse after excuse, and you hold it in, but sometimes you just want to say, "Stop! I don't want to hear it anymore." "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" Here it is again in verse 20. "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. Church, how many of us are living in disobedience, but we're going, "But I am obeying. I am. Because mama said so, because daddy said so, because the preacher said so," but we're not looking at God's Word. We're not seeing if our life lines up with the Word of God. But we're saying, "I'm a Christian. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." Excuses. They took it, not me. I did what I'm supposed to do. We justify our actions so often. We never stop and we never pray and we never seek the Lord and we don't say, "God, what do you really want in my life? God, what direction, what job do you really want me to take? How do you want me to lead my family? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to serve you at? How can I do this, Lord? What do you want?" And we just say, "Okay, I'm on this path and that's the way I'm going and I'm living for Jesus." And so, but we never stop and seek the Lord and really fully follow His instructions. Verse 22, "But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord?'" To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king. Obedience. Trust and obey. We have to stay in fellowship with the Lord and continue to walk in obedience each and every day, seeking Him, not just going out on our own, not just presuming and justifying our actions. I'm almost done, church. Matthew 16:21. And then we're going to finish in Titus, okay? But Matthew 16:21 says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." You know, sometimes things that look good. Peter wanting to protect Jesus is a good thing, right? "Jesus, I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to be beat. I don't want you to go through those things." Sometimes the things that seem to our flesh, to our body, to our eyes, to everything in our worldly instinct, we're like, "This is wrong. This is wrong. This can't be right. Peter, never will I let you go through this, Lord." But Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." How many of us were justified in our actions because we got the things of men in our mind and not the things of God? And we're trying to live our lives, we're trying to protect, we're trying to do all these great and wonderful things, but we're not really seeking God. We're not really seeking that relationship with Him. Peter thought what he was doing was a good thing. We have to get our desires, our thoughts out of the way and seek the Lord's will and know that our justification comes through Jesus Christ. Do we understand where our justification comes? It's not my actions. It's not in all my abilities. Because many of us would be just like Peter here, and we'd be saying, "Jesus, no, I want to protect you. I love you. I don't want you to go through that." But he says, "You're not thinking the way you're supposed to be thinking. You're thinking from a man's view, not from God's view." We're going to finish up here in Titus 3:1-8, and I hope you guys can understand, and I hope that I can explain our justification here. It says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men." Right there, I'm reminding you of these things, but many of the things that we justify in our life, whether it's the slander and gossip, to anger, to unforgiveness, right there it says that's not how we're supposed to live. Peaceable and considerate and show true humility towards other men. Verse 3, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasures." Do you guys remember that? When you were deceived and you were living in passion and pleasure and you thought that that was what would fulfill you? Verse goes on to say, "We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." So if you have hate right now, you're wrong. If you have malice, if you have envy, you're wrong, because it's saying that's the way that you used to live. Verse 4, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone." So there's a mouthful there, and there's a whole bunch there, but I want you to think about the mercy right there. The way that it's used is G1656, and it's of uncertain affirmity, compassion, mercy. So because of His mercy, because of His compassion that He have for us, He saved us. And it says, by the washing and rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, who He poured out on us generously. See, we all should have the Holy Spirit inside of us now. And by that Holy Spirit being poured out on us, we've been justified by His grace. Justification, when I looked this up in G 1344, it's to render, that is, show or regard as just or innocent, free, justified, to be righteous. I think that's interesting that we're free now to be righteous. We're free now to live for Jesus Christ. That's where our justification came from, by His Holy Spirit being poured out upon us, by His mercy, by His grace. And when I looked at that grace, it's the divine influence in there on that definition. So now, my justification doesn't come from what I know in my flesh. My justification doesn't come from what I know in my way, in my knowledge. All a man's ways seem right to him, but in the end they lead to death. My justification comes from Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross for me. And I'd done nothing to deserve that, because I was lost in my passion, in my pleasures, in my envy, in my hatred. I was lost in all that when Jesus died on the cross. But now He has justified me by the renewal of the Holy Spirit, by pouring the Holy Spirit out upon me. Is anybody getting this morning? That's where our justification comes from. It's from Jesus Christ. And it's living in Him, in His grace, and doing those things increasingly. What was that last verse? And I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Seeing now by the Holy Spirit's power, we can devote ourselves and be careful to do the things that are good, that is right. That's a message. Here's the thing. We live in a fallen world. And I think I come by it honest. I don't like to be wrong in any area of my life. I think my grandpa, my dad, I know my brother is that way. We're always right. I'd argue with a fence post. But I really need to stop. And I really need to say, Lord, am I right because I'm being led by Your Holy Spirit? Because I'm walking full of the Spirit? Am I right because I'm trusting in You? Or am I right in my own ability? I didn't trust that Google map or whatever that was when it said, get off the road and get on this 2-lane. What? That's the wrong path. Balaam didn't trust his donkey. His donkey says, have I ever done this to You before? Do we trust that God is watching over us? Do we trust that God is leading our path? Are we allowing God to do it? If you're always in conflict, if you always think you're right, I would just challenge you to open up God's Word and say, God, I feel right in this circumstance. Help me to see. Am I really right? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word says that we're to be aliens, that we're not of this world, that we're different. And Father, I pray that we would be different, that we would live differently, that we wouldn't be like the world that justifies our actions, that justifies our sin, that justifies all the wrong that they do. But Father, that we would seek You and Your Holy Spirit. We would seek Your grace, Your mercy, Your divine influence upon our lives, Father. I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, that You would just pour out Your Spirit upon us this morning. And Father, that as Your Word said there in Titus, that we would humble ourselves, Father, that we would humbly come before You this morning, Lord, and say, I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all right. And Lord, I need You. Father, there's a lot of areas in my life I don't understand lately. And I've been questioning. And it just doesn't make sense to me. But Lord, I choose to trust You. Lord, this church trusts You and Your leading. Father, I pray that the increase is coming. Lord, that our cup would truly be overflowing. But Father, we would be ready to handle it. That we would be ready to stay on the right path. Lord, if there's any in here that haven't confessed lately, that haven't asked for forgiveness, that haven't repented, Lord, if there's any in here that maybe they're like Balaam and they're headed down the wrong path, but they think they're right, Father, may You open up their heart, may You open up their minds right now. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, will You redirect them? Will they see the error of their way? Father, may none of us be on the path to death and destruction, but may we be on that narrow path to life and life more abundantly. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. The altars will be open for a few moments if you need to pray, if you need guidance, if you need to ask for forgiveness of anything.
Holy fire, burn away my desire for anything that is not of You and is of me. I want more of You and less of me. Holy fire, burn away my desire for anything that is not of You and is of me. I want more of You and less of me. Empty me. Empty me. Fill me, won't You fill me with You, with You. Holy fire, burn away my desire for anything that is not of You and is of me. I want more of You and less of me. Empty me. Empty me. Fill me, won't You fill me? Fill me, won't You fill me? Fill me, won't You fill me with You?
You know, as I was just sitting there praying, I guess the Lord's trying to straighten me out a little bit, because my attitude at work lately has been, I don't know how work is where you guys are, but at my work, the harder you work, the more you get. Sometimes I'll justify going a little slow, not going quite as fast as I could, because I know the faster I go, the more work I get. I don't need to justify my actions by saying, well, I'm going to be working harder. I need to work as unto the Lord, right? But we justify things in our mind all the time. Let's stop trying to be right. Stop trying to make everything fair. Life's not fair. And let's just start seeking the Lord. and His leadership. I love you, church. Thank you for being here. I just pray that you all will just truly seek the Lord this week. Humbly allow Him to work in your life, to transform you. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.